It's nice to see your smiling faces, hear laughter in the house, because God is a creative God that enjoys joyful atmosphere, full of praise, full of a glorious time, an atmosphere of refreshing. So it just really does a heart good when we laugh in His presence, because we do everything with balance when we're in His presence. And things really have a way of refreshing us. So I just want to welcome all of you that have come this morning to part two of Connect. We're going to continue our conversation about what is the church. And if you were here last Sunday, and if you were not, by the way, just go ahead and click on the audio sermons. We actually have a DVD of this one online, and you can catch up on part one of Connect. Today, we're going to continue on that with some of the practical applications of what we talked last Sunday about. So there is a quiz this morning to all of you. Okay, that's a good one, that's a good one. And so we began with Mr. Bean, and then I posed the question, what connects Mr. Bean into a community, into his church? I told you a merry heart is a good thing before God. Yeah. That and actually two major points. We're connected divinely in a community to manifest by the Holy Spirit, the works of Christ, yes, through the gifts that He enables us with, and the heart of Christ. We're connected for a purpose, to manifest as image bearers, who God is. And we do that by being enabled supernaturally. Not because we in ourselves can do much, but we being baptized into the body of Christ through the Holy Spirit get enabled supernaturally to manifest the works of Christ and the heart of Christ. I'd like for us to reflect a little bit on the heart of Christ as we watch this YouTube video for a moment here.
Disciples were assembled in the upper room. They didn't know that Jesus would be leaving very soon. They talked about His kingdom as they read it for the feast. Who would be the greatest? Who would be the least? One said, if there's a greatest, others talked of miracles they had seen done. No one noticed Jesus as He rose up from His seat, till He knelt before them and began to wash their feet. Single act of service puts us all back in our place. Though we're called to minister and do miracles in His name, remember when you're sent by Him, the reason that He came.
But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of that body. I thought that this morning would have a much greater impact if I would let the body share about the works of Christ in the heart of Christ that they have experienced at our Father's house. May I invite Brendan, Tina, and Jesse to join me at the front. And we will have the privilege of hearing the testimony. For in Revelation, we know that they have overcome the evil one. They, it means you and I. By the blood and by the testimony. And I believe we are all going to be encouraged as we hear the testimony that those that have experienced the healing that flows at our Father's house, the restoration, the mending, the empowerment, the personal experience of who we are here.
All right, so good morning. I'm Brandon Nickish.
Hi, Brandon.
So I'm chuckling to myself looking at each of us here because we've each got our phones out with our notes on it and stuff. But what we're really going to be doing is playing Words with Friends. And so
I thought it was a bad piggy.
So we're going to just share with you guys this morning, out of our own experiences, what it means to connect with the body of Christ. So Tim, if you would please go ahead and put up that first PowerPoint. For those of you who don't know me, I've been coming to our Father's house for seven years now. And when I showed up here, the person that you see sitting here was not the person that walked through these doors. And it wasn't me who found Christ. Christ, He found me. He reached into the circumstances that I was surrounded in and found me. And go ahead and go to the next slide, Tim. I was cruising the internet one day. I think I might have been on Facebook, and I found this picture. And this picture, to me, was such a powerful representation of what Christ had done in my life. I don't know if any of you are familiar with this Japanese art form. I'll probably butcher the name. I think it's kintsugi. So the Japanese, many hundreds of years ago, would take a piece of pottery that was broken and they would fill it with this resin. And they would fill in the cracks, and they determined that this thing that was once broken now has more enormous value than it did prior to being broken. So that's kind of like each of us, as we begin to enter into our walk, even before Christ, we're all broken. Each one of us is broken in our own certain way. And Christ steps into our situation, and he scoops up all the pieces of our broken lives. And then he begins to assemble those different pieces. And in doing that, we begin to experience him. And, you know, and Pastor Lanny spoke several weeks ago about experiencing God. But go ahead and go to the next slide, Tim. You know, and Scripture tells us in Psalms 42, you know, he says, he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, my footsteps firm. He rescues us from any situation that we might be facing, any, I don't care where you're at. It simply does not matter where you're at. He will pick you up out of that situation. Then in Zechariah 9, 11 through 16, I'm going to read through a few of these verses. So as for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I have set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. What is the waterless pit? You know, this scripture actually speaks of Christ's return. This scripture speaks of our salvation. But our waterless pit is simply those things that we're wrestling with in our everyday lives. Verse 12 says, "Return to the stronghold, O prisoners who have the hope. This very day I'm declaring that I will restore double to you." And then down to verse 16. "And the Lord their God will save them in that day as a flock of his people." And this is the part that I love. For they are as the stones of a crown sparkling in his land. So he's rescued the broken ones. And they are now the stones in his crown. Everybody's got a picture of what a crown looks like. And it's kind of like that kintsugi. It's kind of like that broken pot. But the beauty of it is we're no longer defined by our brokenness. Our brokenness no longer defines us. What defines us is whose we are. I am Christ's. I am a son of God now. And I now have a purpose and a destiny to walk out. And when he frees you in that fashion, can I tell you, I walked through these doors, okay, and just a little brief bit of my testimony. When I came here, okay, I was divorced. I had one child out of wedlock. I had two children from my divorce. And I was with my wife, my current wife, Michelle. Okay, we weren't married. We had a child together. Okay. Yes, quite. And so when I walked through these doors, that was my life. It was Hurricane Brandon leaving a trail of destruction behind him as he went everywhere he went. And my life was a testimony of broken relationships because of the choices that I made in my orphan thinking, looking out for me. But I showed up here, and Christ planted me in a body, and he surrounded me with people. There was no mistake about it. He surrounded me with people It wasn't just a coincidence. Those people were placed in my life for a purpose and a reason. And as I began to walk with him, he began restoring relationship after relationship after relationship that I had destroyed. Okay, when I first met my wife, Michelle, okay, I thought of myself as a pretty good person. I was like, I'm a good guy. I've made some bad choices, but I'm a good guy. I don't mean to do harm to anybody. Okay, but when I met my wife, okay, she was a single mother with our oldest son, Timothy. So she had already experienced some heartache of her own. And as parents, when you see your child go through heartache, you want to shelter them. You want to help protect them. So I walked in. Here comes this guy walking into the situation, former Marine, divorced with three children. They know nothing about me. And all of a sudden, their daughter is pregnant with his child. And me, silly me, I just expected, oh, they'll love me. I'm a great guy. And so that was kind of the basis of the starting point of our relationship. And can I tell you, it went downhill really, really fast. Okay, so we spent the first five and a half years, roughly, of our first 8 years of our relationship together. Very strained relationship with her parents. And then one fall, we had a men's retreat. Okay, and to tell you the truth, I really didn't want to go to the men's retreat. But there were others around me that encouraged me to go, that I needed to be there. And I ended up going to this retreat. And because of the relationships that I'm involved in, because of the relationships I'm involved in with my spiritual father, the relationships of the other men that I interact with on a regular basis, I began to evaluate that relationship. And God spoke to me and said, those people are part of your spiritual family. I had never considered that before. They were just the in-laws. Because we all love our in-laws, right? Come on. So I began to evaluate that, and the Holy Spirit told me, began to reveal these things to me. He took me outside of myself, if you will, and placed me into the shoes of those parents. And he said, this is what they saw. That was their child. And the Holy Spirit had me write a letter. And that letter, in that letter, I accepted the responsibility for my actions and what I had done. And I spent about 2 weeks after the men's retreat arguing with God about whether or not I would send the letter. Okay, because we were terrified. And I say we, my wife and I, because I shared this with her. We were terrified that her family was going to disown us. Just absolutely mortified that this letter would not be received in the proper way. And so after 2 weeks of wrestling with it, I mailed this letter. And I walked to the mailbox. And I'm telling God the whole way to the mailbox, I'm not mailing this. I'm not going to do it. You're going to have to grab my hand and force me to put it into that mailbox because I'm not going to do it. And I stood in front of the mailbox for about 2-3 minutes arguing with him some more. And then I finally threw it into the mailbox and I said, there, fine. Now you better do something. I've done my part. Now you better do something. Now here comes the absolutely amazing part, okay? That letter showed up in Alexandria, Virginia. And my wife's mother, during the weekend of the men's retreat, when the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, had given her a dream. And in that dream, I had come to bury the hatchet, as she put it, to settle this old difference. So when that letter showed up on her doorstep, God had already intervened. He had already showed up. And from that day till now, I can't say the relationship's perfect, but can I tell you the difference? Can I tell you the softening of each of our hearts? And if I hadn't connected with a body, if I hadn't connected with those that would bring me to maturity, I wouldn't be standing here, sitting here, with this testimony. It's those kinds of things, when you connect with intentionality. This is not just a one-way process where God speaks to you and then He does everything. You have to be intentional about it. And so with that, I'm going to let Tina share a little bit of her testimony about connecting with God.
Good morning. I've met most of you. My name is Tina Fries. I first came when we were Prague in January of 2002. The Lord has brought me to a place of understanding that although I was abandoned by my earthly father and grew up rejected as a child, that God had a greater purpose and plan for all of that pain, for all of that sorrow. He allowed me to live in multiple environments, each one with a specific purpose. The choices I made as an adult, trying to live in my own strength and out of my own desires, desperate and hungry for love, left me even more broken and empty. Before I came to Prague, I'd actually attended two other churches. But what I found were empty rituals, legalism, and an absence of the power of the Holy Spirit. As a single mother, I felt neither welcomed nor did I experience the Holy Spirit. When I first came to Prague, my oldest son was 9 years old. He and I were received with absolutely open arms and were just loved. The very first Sunday I came here, a beautiful lady who isn't here anymore, Katrina Wagner, personally invited me to join her Bible study. The second or third Sunday, we had cell groups then. They were small home groups that met, and I had someone that invited me to join their small group. In the small group, there was a time of worship, there was a message, we prayed for one another, and there was fellowship. I was out here alone, carrying the burden of raising a child. For the first time, I had the love and the support of an extended family. Quickly, I was pulled into the body by several people who reached out to me. I was even allowed to help with children's church, so that even I could serve as broken and disqualified as I felt and knew I was. I spent a lot of time at the altar for prayer and eventually found great emotional and spiritual healing through Mary Wallace's ministry. I had three women who spent countless hours over the course of many weeks who helped me to unpack a U-Haul of brokenness, of shame, of rejection, of guilt, and to be finally free. These three ladies did so with amazing love and grace. Never once did I feel judged or condemned. I'm extremely grateful and it's a debt I'll never be able to repay. I know that my Lord has redeemed me and uses my past that He has rewritten for His glory, for His purposes, and for His kingdom. I know well what it is to feel unwanted and unloved. Because of that, God has birthed in me an unconditional love for people. And it's my heart's desire that whoever God brings into my life, that they would experience and hopefully come to know the love of their Heavenly Father.
Any of you ever been up to Great Falls, Virginia? Yeah, it's quite beautiful up there. And in my walks up there, I'm somewhat of a visual person. Lots of times I'll find things that just strike me. And if Tim could go ahead and pull up my PowerPoint that I gave him. There you go. Take just a second and look at this picture. Now, if you look at this picture, you're moving to the next slide, you see a post. Now, this post is along a canal. If you've never been to Great Falls, there's a canal. I think it's the CNO canal that they used to pull the ships along. And this post is there along the canal, but it's broken, it's leaning, it's weathered, it's worn down, it's scarred, it's diseased. It appears to have outlived its usefulness. And I think quite often, for those of us who are lost, they can easily identify with that. Trying to figure out life, and life continues to wear you down, one wound after wound after wound. And you keep carrying this baggage with you as you go through life, trying to figure out, where am I going, what am I doing, what's the purpose of all of this? And you kind of end up like this post. Not serving much of a purpose and just feeling worn down. And that's even true, unfortunately, there's even some Christians. They come to know the Lord and they get over that initial, I don't know what you even call it, that initial when you first get saved, you've got all this energy and God is so gracious and He gives you those things. Even though you continue to be selfish with your prayers, He gives and He gives. But then eventually, God requires something of you. All of a sudden, this intentional process that we go through requires something of you. And quite often, that's where the intentional process stops, because we're like, wait a second, I've got to participate in this? Or you're brought into a situation where you believe that our hope is a future one out there somewhere. And so if the hope is just a future one, you can just sit around and wait for it and not have to do anything. You don't have to be involved in the process. You don't have to chase after Christ. And so what you do is you end up robbing yourself. You rob yourself of the healing that can come. Go to the next slide, please. Now, this post sat no more than 2 feet away from where the second one was. And when I saw it, that post looks entirely different than the other post. The next slide. That post is standing straight up. It's deeply marked. And you can tell it serves a very distinct purpose. It has a purpose, a defined purpose. It knows what it's for, what it was designed for. And when you come into relationship with Christ, it's about understanding, first of all, Genesis 2:18 will tell you, it's not good for man to be alone. So God says He was going to make a helper for him. We were designed for relationship. We as humans were designed for relationship. When God created us, why did He create us? What is the purpose of Christ coming back to earth? Why did God send His Son? To restore that which was lost, which was what? What was lost? Relationship. And it's about being intentional. Svetlana brought up earlier, she was reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you read through that entire chapter, if you read through the entirety of the book of 1 Corinthians, you'll begin to understand this intentional process that we must walk through to first come to. So God stands us up first. He stands us up in place, and He places us into a body, as Tina testified to, where He surrounds you with people that help you unpack that U-Haul. So the first part, you connect with God, you experience Him. You experience God. And then He surrounds you with people to help unpack all that baggage. But what happens when you unpack that baggage? What begins to happen? As you're intentional about pursuing the Lord and what He wants for your life, you begin to look like that post. You look like that post, and when people walk by you, they see something. When you speak, they hear something. That's hope. They hear hope. They're like, this guy's got it all figured out. Now, of course, we all realize, I don't have it all figured out. But I do have a testimony. I have a testimony of a God who will save. I have a testimony of a God who will reach into any situation that you have. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your situations. So the biggest thing, relationship must be pursued with intentionality. It's a two-way process. Are you seeking out, are you looking for those people that God has put into your path to help bring you to healing? What are those things that you need healing for? If you can identify those things first, then you begin to see those people that God places in your path. That's no longer a coincidence. It's all divinely ordained. Then you begin saying, okay, how do I begin to mature? I've started to unpack this baggage. How do I mature so that I can pass along that which was given to me? It's not meant for you to keep. And when you start doing that, you can walk in those doors out there one day, a man who's divorced with 3 children, has another child, and he's not married, and you can walk through those doors and you can end up in a position where you're speaking to people from a place where you know that there's healing. You can speak from a position where you can say to them, there is hope for you in your situation. You no longer have to live that way. And you can do it with authority, and you can do it with love, most importantly. Not condemnation, but with love you can speak into people's lives. But if you're not surrounded by people, if you're not surrounded by people who have God's interests at heart, it's not going to happen. You'll just be the potted plant sitting in the back, sucking up nutrients. So Jesse's going to share a little bit about the practicality of doing some of this and some of his testimony.
Thank you. A little bit would be an hour. It would be nice. No, I'm just kidding, sir. Anyway, I'm here because my spiritual father forced me to be here, actually. Not really. I am very blessed to be part of this church. Amen. So they asked me to give a little bit of our testimony, but basically I want to put everything in it. But, you know, the main reason is, why am I here? Basically, I've been in this church since 2011. And first people that really greeted me was Tina's nice face. Hello, Tina. How are you? And Chris. It was Chris, actually, my first brother. It's like, hey, brother. This was our first church. We investigated 10 churches here. And this was the first church that we went to. And the first church that we came back because I was blessed. The first time I was here, I cried because of the message. But basically, just a testimony. This is all about being connected. I used to work in the ministry back home. I went to Bible school. You know, I was a good kid. You know, I was born again at the age of 13, 14. And me and my wife the same year, we were really good Christians. We were raised in a very conservative, we're part of the 10% Protestant church in the Philippines. Most of them are Catholics, but, you know, it's like, okay. So we were really like growing up and very strict and stuff. And then I thought I was okay, you know, had a great job, was working in, then I became a pastor and I was still working because my church cannot afford to give me the salary. So you need to work, find your own food. Oh, it's like, no problem. I was associate church, I was still working. My wife also was working. She had more money than me, so everything was good, you know? But the call of God came, 1999, when everything was, let me use this word, was shit. The Philippines went down, everything, money was draining and everything. The church was suffering. I tell you, in the hospital when I was working, it was bad. You know, it was really bad. I tell you, people were suffering. And I was, Lord, in the midst of that, I was like, what's happening? What's happening? There was this call from God and saying, I need you to move. It's like, move with what? You need to support these people. You need to move and find where the bread is. And I'm just like, where? What is that? So we went to this mountain and just cut the story short. And then we had this blessing. You need to move to the United States. It's like, woo! U.S., you know, that's not missions. You know, 100% of the Americans is like, they came to the Philippines to evangelize us, not us going to the United States. It's like, no, Lord, no. But, you know, it was a very strong call. And I said, but the word was, it's all for free. Not a single cent that will come out of your pocket. Because I tell you, it's very expensive to come here. Try going back to the Philippines and pay for your own fare. And then you will know, wow, it's expensive, you know. So I'm just like, no, Lord, not me. And plus all this immigration process and everything. To cut the story short, one day I was working. An American, nice, white guy came to the hospital. Eye glasses, like Pastor Lani. And then he said, like, Uncle Sam, I want you. Like, whoa. Cool, man. But he was really serious. He was a lawyer, an immigration lawyer. And he said, I'm looking for nurses. You might be qualified. I'm just like, are you serious? Yes, and I think you're bright, for free. It's like, wow. I'm just like, wow. So immediately I called my wife. I said, I think this is what God is trying to do with us. It's like God is trying to connect us into something which is great. So cut the story short, in 10 months, no money out of my pocket, I found myself in New York with 20 inches of snow. And I told myself, wow, Lord, hallelujah, Jesus. I'm just like, what is this little powdery thing? Whoa, is this white Christmas? December 21. And I'm just like, what is this, Lord? It was very hard. It was 3 hours at the airport before somebody picked me up. But, you know, a couple of months, after three weeks before, and I got hospitalized with bullae and pitagio. You know what that is? It's a strong reaction to temperatures. So because I came from a tropical country, cold, whatever, I had bullae and pitagio, like blisters all over my body. And the doctor said, you need to go home, man. You need to be in a warm climate. And I'm like, Lord, I tell you, this is wrong. I heard wrong from God. This is really wrong. But, you know, one thing that God showed me, and if you show my slide, and I said, Lord, where is this connection that you're trying to... I came here to the United States with, believe me, $6 in my pocket. I had literally $6. And I needed to earn... Because the following week, my wife expecting me to send money. I don't have anything here. And I had $6 in my pocket. And I'm just like, what do I need to do? So I got Lord and said, where do I go? Where do I connect? Who should I call? You know, have you ever found yourself as a transplant in a place where there was nobody? I felt the same way. None. That was the call. But I was already a Christian. So if you show next slide, you know, John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. You know, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. That was the assurance that God has given in my heart. Lord, I am connected to you. Whether you like it or not, I am a Christian. You know, so I call everybody on my phone book. It is literally a book, not this phone, this phone book. And somebody said, oh, poor boy, I'm going to come pick you up. You know? And then he said, told me, so, what are you going to do? This lady didn't show up. He promised you a job. There was no job. I was like, oh my God. I was a nurse. I'm looking for a job. No job. I went to the hospital the following day. He said, we'd never heard anything. Jesus Salvacion. What kind of name is that? Never heard about you. I was in the HR, literally in the HR, telling me, hey, I'm already here. Problem was, the girl that petitioned me, although everything was legal, her company was illegal. I had all the papers. Everybody was, yes, approve, 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 approve. And then I found out, my God, the company that she was telling me was not existing. I had no job. You know, the guy who was accompanying me said, you better go home, man. It's like, no, I have my green card. I can work. And then he said, so what can you do? He looked at my credentials and said, oh, I can put you in my office. I can pay you $15 an hour. Is that good enough? Like, I was like, no, no. I tell you, apart from him, we can do nothing. The tons of prayer I did last night, Chalina can testify, I was crying and bawling and everything, but God was there. Next part of the story. You know what? I said, okay, I need to be in a warm climate. God put me in California, you know, and I ended up in this ministry, small group ministry, and I told the Lord, Lord, I've been doing this in the Philippines. I want something new. Something new, Lord. You know, what's something new? What's new formula, whatever. You know, the essence of being connected, still I was feeling the same thing because, you know, I was alone. My family was back home. I was working alone. I need to be connected somewhere. There was no connection, believe you me. Although it says in Colossians, John 15:5 is our branches. But you know what? Really? Can you really survive as a Christian doing just on a Sunday to Sunday basis and nobody really as part of a family, a spiritual family you go through? No, I was experiencing the emptiness. Now, if you go back, go to my second slide, it says Colossians chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. You know, and that's what I want to really share to you. All right, it says here, I want to pull up my Bible. I'm reading from the Standard Version. And above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in the body, and be thankful. You know, I found myself, since I was already connected, and then said, Lord, I was looking for a church. I was looking for something, some connection in the churches that I went to. I went to a church in Brooklyn, you know, in this little Pentecostal church. They were loud. I was like, whoa, you know, because I didn't feel a connection. I went into this other church in Westchester, you know, different crowd. They were sleepy. I was like, where's the connection here? It was very hard for somebody like me. You know, I was looking for the, you know, reality. I want something authentic. You know, in a church when you come and people will not just say, hi, hello, and smile at you like you're not there. Have you ever experienced that? Hi, brother. And then the look is like, I'm here. Can you see me? I'm here. You know, that kind of experience. I experienced that. Nobody will look at you. Me and a minority. Nobody will look at me. And I'm like, you know, come here. And then everybody, yeah, I come to the church. I pray. Pray for me. Pray for me. Nobody would pray for me. I'm like, what's happening? Stay here. Nobody. I go home alone and stuff. My wife came. It's great. They came over and stuff. The same experience. We were looking from church to church, church to church. Nobody would look at us and just say, Nobody would even ask, where do you come from or whatever. You know, sometimes because Filipinos are so, they're just like really on the fringes. We want to keep quiet. We don't want to be involved. Just leave us alone. That's the culture. So we were like this. Yeah, you know. But I tell you, when God called us again in California, part of this church, and God said, how should we do this, Lord? You know, somebody came and said, well, you invite us to the fellowship. we involved in this nice group, little small group again, another small group. And it's like, I am tired of this small group. You know, what kind of group is this? This is not a big church. I tell you, I brought back to Colossians and it says, but above all things, put things which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The primary example of love I didn't see in big churches. The primary example of love I saw in the little small churches that I attended to. Then I found out, wow, this is what really it means to be a Christian. Because in that small group, you know, when these people open up their homes and their houses and say, hey, come to my house. I saw this person. I was like, hey, they will not really that, you know, sometimes as Christians we lean to look at our sign. We go to the church. We are in our best clothes, best makeup, nice this and stuff. When these people come in, I saw them, they're very, very simple people. But when they brought us to their house was amazing. That's just one example of how God corrected me. The second part, I saw these nice people, simple house. What I'm saying here, is that when you open up your house, I don't know if it's common in this culture, but you're opening up your intestines, everything. Sometimes that's why here when we started our small group, it's so hard to say, can you do it in your house? People would say, not really, you know. When you're in the house and say, where's your room? Where's your main room? Say, no, don't go there. It's a mess. Why? Because people are afraid to show themselves. Right? But that's not what God is telling us. God is telling us is we are called to one body. Believe it or not, brothers and sisters, who are Christians here? If you raise your hand, great. If you don't, get out of this building because you're not a Christian. No, I'm just kidding. We are all Christians here. And as Christians, God is calling us to one body. Look at your brother and sister and look at him in the eye. You are part of me. Whether you're black, you're white, you're Asian, you're Bulgarian. I don't know what that is, but you are my sister. Amen? You know, I don't care what kind of hairdo you're wearing. I love you in the name of Christ. Amen? We have one culture, one body. We're all Christians. And that's why I discovered, you know, I wasn't looking the big things. Before, my orientation was, I want a big church. Hallelujah, with great singers and musicians and stuff. I wanted that. But God, from time and time again, pushed me to small groups because right then and there, I saw what real Christianity is all about. When people sit down with you and say, can you have, sister, brother, do you have money? I need $100 to get me by. That's where the real things happen. And then I realized, oh, in World War II, you know where the real battle is? It's in the trenches. When they cut all of these things and stuff, that's where the battle is. And I realized that's where God has put me. You know, being called to one body, sometimes you need to be in the trenches. Nobody needs to be everybody like 100 people in the office. Nobody will win the war that way. Somebody has to be in the trenches. You know, God is calling us to one body. And that takes, in my testimony, I tell you, time and time again, we always go back to being part of a small group. And we say, honey, are we going to open up our... You know, I know you think I have a perfect marriage with my wife. Thank you. I tell you, it's so perfect. Ask my daughter. But I tell you, it's scary. Scary to people see you, look at you in reality. Will they love me as I am? When I wake up in the morning, my wife will say, you have bad breath. There are times people will see that in your own home. You know, and I'm trying to bring down in all practicality, erase all this mushiness and say, hi, praise the Lord. We come to the church and say, I have a problem. People, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But after that, where is the reality? When somebody is hungry, when somebody come and say, are you okay? Yesterday, I was reminded by this message. I was there, I was putting air in my car. And then this guy in a wheelchair said, can you help me? You know, I had a flat tire in his wheelchair. He had one leg. He was like a veteran, U.S. veteran, Vietnam. I'm just like, oh, it was busted. I said, I'm really sorry. It's just busted. I can't put in more air. And then he said, oh, okay. Oh, goodness. I said, so I was like, okay. You know, it's sometimes, I was just tempted to go away and say, like, are you okay? Are you good? And I'm going to go. But the Spirit said, ask him if he needed a lift. So I said, do you need a lift, sir? And then he looked at me, wow, this guy's crazy. And he said, yes, I do. And then I said, okay. I said, no problem. So we went into this, sheets, you know. he wanted to bring some stuff, and then I was there with him lining up, and then his neighbor came along. It's like, oh, you know, you're here. It's like, oh, great. It's like, and this guy is going to lift me up. Blah, 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 blah. So I ended up, I didn't, you know, give him a ride. But I felt relieved because that's the calling of us Christians. When we feel the Spirit, and I'm going into this. If you feel the Spirit now, believe you me, God is calling you. So lastly, I want to say, how do we do this? All right. If we're calling you to connect, you know, how do we do this? Okay, the last verses, and if you go back to Colossians chapter 14, 15, 16, said, let the word of Christ, can you go back to that slide, please? To the word, let the word of Christ, it's very, very simple. It says here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns. I myself was looking for a formula. I tell you, I have this little triangular pattern that I follow every time I do my small group. There has to be some singing, then word, testimony, and nobody escapes my prayer chair.
Amen.
Amen. Ask Sister Tina. Like, let's pray. Pray. But it's not a matter of formula. The Word of God says, very simple, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Amen. It's not just reading it, applying it, hearing it, applying it. And in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another, that's encouragement, and with psalms and hymns. So we sing songs. It's a very, very simple formula. But still, you know, it's the beauty is in its simplicity. I tell you, when you go to a small group, you don't have to dress with pizzazz. Dress as you. We want you. And when you come, bring all of your burdens. Because it's not going to be me or any Alisa leader or RSG leader who will take care of that. God wants you. And we can only bring down the reality of Christianity if we bring it to our homes, to our communities. That's where the challenge is, as being connected to one body. All right? Who's your closest friends in the church, in this church? Have you ever been to his or her house? Or a guy that you really want to connect? Have you ever seen or ever asked him or her, where do you live? All right? We didn't even know. One of Sister Holcomb's, the wife comes from Mexico, the Dunbars. They come from Jamaica, you know. The Coles, they come from Jamaica. What's that? Jamaica, it's so exotic. But, you know, their presence in our small group educated me who they are, what they are. The bottom line is, we found one common ground, and that is Christ. We are one body, one family, one Father. Amen. That's where the challenge is, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, 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 where are you going? I just because I sat here? Didn't they do a great job? I really, really enjoyed the testimony. Thank you. Thank you. This is what connected to the body of Christ looks like. When we see the works of Christ being evident among us, and we can feel the pumping of the heart of Christ by the love that oozes from all of us in all of the surroundings that we enter. This is what the body of Christ looks like. So we are connected for a divine purpose to see the works of Christ and the heart of Christ in our Father's house. And what our heart is today, to give you the opportunity to connect. I don't know how many of us are connected in a small group, in a semi-public connection. Because when we come on a Sunday morning, we are publicly connected. We come in, we come about 200 plus people on a Sunday morning. It is hard to get to know everyone. And some of that, you know, hi, how are you doing? And you don't really see the other person. Comes because you cannot connect to 200 people all at once. Let's be honest.
So this is our public connection. But there are semi-public connections, what the small groups are. There's smaller gatherings of the body of Christ. And we can all come together, get to know each other better, and begin to unload the U-hauls of burdens. And there are people that would have a heart to walk alongside us when we hurt. And then others that are going to walk alongside us when we need employment. And others that are going to teach us how to hear God's word and how to listen better to His voice in our lives. And others that really have a heart to teach us some financial savviness. And others that actually really want to get together and have a lot of fun and play games and go to a picnic together and invite us to go boat riding together or whatever. Those are semi-public connections. We call them, for ease vernacular, a small group. But they're basically getting together with friends from this local body of Christ called Our Father's House. Getting together in a smaller group where we can get to know each other. And sometimes we feel kind of threatened and we say, I just don't know those people that are going to be there and I don't feel comfortable. You know what? If you allow yourself to show a little bit of vulnerability, like Jesse was talking about, the authenticity comes through. I've been to some parties, small groups, or whatever you want to call them, that don't look like anything like we look here on Sunday morning. Trust me on that. I remember one recently at Karen's house, you know, as we, Chris and Karen, as we said goodbye to Kenny Smith. And nobody looked like they do here on Sunday morning. I forgot to wear my overalls, okay? I was the only one that looked like a Sunday morning person and felt very much out of place. Forgot the hat. So, there is room for all of us to connect. And if some of us have not found those small connections, like small little bitty gathering places, this morning we will give you the opportunity to do so. And I would appreciate if Brendan and Jesse would move the table to the side, because what I would like to offer to all of us is an opportunity this morning to see who our small group leaders are at our Father's House and to decide to make yourself available for connections, to make yourself ready to get to know more people and see. You know, there is a book that I really like. It seems normal until you get to know them. I don't know how many of you have read that, but trust me, we all seem like we have it all together when not at all until you get to know us better. Now, can I ask the small group leaders, if we can all stand up, and I, at this point, would ask the small group leaders to make their way. Everybody get up so the small group leaders can squeeze right around you, if we can all get up, the whole congregation. All of you sitting there, can you get up? Thank you. All right. And the small group leaders, if you can make your way to the front so people would see and I identify with who you are. Some of you lead on Sunday morning right here. Some of you lead groups that go throughout the entire week. Some of you lead certain things that only happen occasionally. You guys are part of the leadership on Sunday morning, right? On the connection groups. Would you please come in line with the rest of them? The reason I have the small group leaders line to the front here is that we can all see that there are things happening, and really you can put the faces to the groups that we have going on at our Father's House. And in about a minute here, I would give the mic real quickly for you to identify who you are. If you're a husband-wife team, please go together and so people can see you as a team that actually leads. And I will have you say who you are and what you lead. And at that point, I will invite you, if you would like to be connected, at this body and get to know people a little bit deeper, that you can walk to the front. And I will ask the small group leaders to actually pray for you and with you to get to know each other a little bit better. Just say your name and what you lead.
Ricky and Annie Cribbs, and we basically just lead a group to get together and have a good time.
Fantastic. And when do you meet?
We meet on Thursdays, and we also meet with the Pattersons. We kind of do it co-lead.
Okay. Molly Frink, I lead a small group right after church, a connection group in that alcove. And then we have a Wednesday night group right now. Right now we're studying the Bait of Satan, and we're kind of halfway through it, but you're still welcome to join us, and we're planning on that being a continuing group.
Chris and Karen Alvey, we have a small group that has been meeting on Mondays, and that's starting to not work for people's schedule. Subject to change. We are generally meeting in people's houses in St. Mary's County, and we need new people.
New people. Okay, right here. As you're walking to the front, go there.
So you met me already. I'm Brandon. This is my wife, Michelle. We live in Calvert County over in Lesby. So if you're in Calvert County and you want to come to a small group, we meet in our home Sundays at about 3 o'clock, so from about 3 to 5, 3 to 6 usually, and we always eat. We like to eat. So there will always be food at our place.
I missed one right here.
I was in another room, I guess. I'm Pete. This is Carrie. And is that close enough? And we just meet right after the sermon section, and we meet right over here, and basically what we mostly focus on, although it ends up being whatever, as these things are, right? Well, we usually start out trying to talk about whatever the sermon was for the day.
Hello again. My husband, Chris, and I have a small group, and we, for schedule purposes, are going to move to Tuesday nights from 6:30 to 8:30.
And what do you teach?
Yeah, normal. Thanks, Tim. I like to go segue off from what the sermon was and what people heard, and our backup is the soap.
Hi, I'm Ed Henderscheid. My beautiful bride is sitting over there because she is expecting. Thank you. We've been meeting quite regularly on Sunday mornings for peanut butter and jelly picnic down in the park here. We have a few families with little kids, so it's the easiest way to manage the savages. We also meet somewhat irregularly at our house for barbecue, usually Saturday or Sunday afternoon, but there's no set schedule for that. Just give me your contact information.
I'm Carl. My wife, Mary, is right in the back. We're in the Ranch Club in Lesby, and we're setting up a time, trying to set up a regular time to meet. It's been sporadic, but any of you guys who would like to meet with us who are in that area, give me a call. I'm in the little blue directory.
Bernie Tolson. I'm a relational small group connector. Kind of oversee the small groups to make sure that whoever need to be connected get connected. Okay.
My name is Casey Pete. Lead the teens, the shofar. Yeah, that's right. And usher in the presence of the Lord. Yes. I'll be currently in a transition with Eric and Jackie Rivera. And I'm going to be bummed out very much. But anyways, aside from that, we meet Wednesdays at 7 to 8:30, and also connections Sunday morning after church, and the Riveras are awesome. So if you are a teen, your age ends with either 12 or ends with a teen, you are more than welcome. And again, it's a we don't want to not have the wisdom. If you happen to have some peppered hair, gray hair, please contact the Riveras and pour your wisdom into these teens. So thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Brad Davies, and this is my wife, Jen. We work with the Hendershides as well, meeting Sunday mornings in regularly during either the week or on the weekends. We're also greeters with Tina and Chris, so you may see us in the front on Sunday mornings. Always welcome to and happy to meet new people, so please stop on by.
Thank you. You know me, Jesse, my beautiful wife, Charlina. Yes, so we live in Great Mills, Maryland. We meet every other Saturday. We like to have a feast. Our rule is, if you join us, we come to your house and eat your house. No, really, we break bread together. So, you know, our one common ground that we found out from different cultures is we love to bring food. So if you like to feast in the presence of the Lord with your brothers and sisters. You know, if you live along Chancellor's Run, Great Mills, Lexington Park, in that area there, our house is open to you.
Brandon and Beth Monday, we have been working with Casey and Christina McCumber. During the summer, the kids have been hanging out down at the playground for the last few months, but we often lead with them on a small group on Sunday afternoons, about 5 o'clock every other week. The other thing that we participate in, we lead rolling classes for marriage enrichment ministry right now. We're actually doing a class on child and parenting issues. We go back and forth between that and marriage enrichment things, couples ministry. So if you are interested in either of those topics, come see us. We'll get you plugged into one of those groups.
My name is Daryl. Me and several of the other young adults get together on a Thursday night. The house usually varies at 8 o'clock, and we are currently going through Waking the Dead, a book, and we have a little bit of a worship service, and then we just get together and have a little bit of snack afterwards.
We have an absolutely awesome group of small group leaders here, and there is no excuse for any of us to be outside of a connected, semi-public experience with one of those groups and one of those interests and topics that are going on. So what I'd like to give us an opportunity to do this morning is to walk towards the small group leaders and make an intentional commitment today that as Christ has brought us right here, divinely appointed us for this season of time, however long or short it is, but for this season of time, we find ourselves being part of our Father's house. I'd like to extend an invitation for every one of us to become connected to the small groups that are already in existence. Because we cannot fully be connected and see the works of Christ or the heart of Christ just on Sunday morning. So at this point, those of you that are either already part of the small groups or would desire to become part of those small groups, I'm inviting you to come to the front and we will all pray together. All the small group leaders will pray over you as you come and we make an intentional connection to each other. So you're welcome to come. And the first-time guests are also invited to come and make that particular commitment. At the end of the service, Pastor Laney and I will meet with you at the hospitality room. So at this point, please come forward so you can connect in small group settings.